This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Lindsay Burke of the Heritage Foundation. We want to get her thoughts on some of the major proposed changes to the No Child Left Behind package passed by President Bush and the new recommendations from President Obama. And Lindsay, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
At the heart, this is being called an overhaul. What's the main change here?
Well, there are actually several large changes. For one, it would eliminate AYP, which is Adequate Yearly Progress. This is how schools have been judged in the past, whether or not they are deemed proficient. And within CLB, there was a requirement that 100% of students reach proficiency in reading and math by 2014. And that, in effect, will be eliminated under the new provision. And instead, the new provision says that students must be college and career ready by 2020.
And explain the difference there. Is the reason that the 2014 benchmark is being scrapped is because we weren't getting there, or it wasn't necessarily the right type of goal? What's the explanation there?
Well, having kids proficient in reading and math was absolutely a great goal, but it was mildly utopian to believe that every student would be proficient by 2014. So this instead looks to make students college and career ready, and the administration has said that they would like to see the United States be number one in college enrollment and completion by 2020. So it's a little bit different, but it's still, unfortunately, looks like it's going to be a lot of federal red tape and federal mandates.
There's also talk about changing how different schools are classified, poor producing schools, top of the line schools, and then something in the middle. What's new there?
Basically, the new overhaul would differentiate interventions. So we'll see the lowest 5% of schools be subject to one of the administration's four, what they're calling turnaround models. So there are models that would include replacing the principal or not hiring any more than 50% of existing teachers. And then the highest 10% of schools, those that are most effective, would receive additional financial incentives.
Is this a good move, a bad move, or kind of about the same?
We'll have to see how it plays out. It's great to grant states the maximum amount of flexibility possible, which the administration is claiming that this would increase flexibility. So on the surface, it looks good. But as we dig down a little deeper into the proposal, we do see some negatives coming out of it. Chief among those is that the school choice provision and tutoring provision for students that were in failing schools has been eliminated.
And in terms of what this might be missing, is there anything else that the president should be focusing on that he's not, or on the converse, that he should leave alone but is looking to change?
Well, the major thing that the president should leave alone is the common standards push. Right now, about 48 states have voluntarily signed on to adopt common standards. But what we're seeing, and this has been compounded in the new ESEA reauthorization blueprint, is the administration continuing to incentivize these standards, in effect making them national standards. So we're seeing the $4.35 billion Race to the Top program created incentives. And we've even heard the administration say that they would like to link Title I funding, which is funding for low-income school districts, to the adoption of these common standards.
We're talking with Lindsay Burke of the Heritage Foundation. And Lindsay, for a lot of people who lean to the right on the political spectrum, No Child Left Behind was a little bit of good news, bad news. They liked schools being held accountable. They liked making sure that teachers were held accountable, but they didn't necessarily like the top-down approach that the Bush administration used to get there, or was trying to use to get there. What do you make of it? From the past 8-9 years or so, what's the impact been?
Well, one of the chief complaints was that states were able to set their proficiency benchmarks, and with every student needing to be proficient by 2014, since states were allowed to set those benchmarks, we saw a lot of watering down of state tests. And unfortunately, this new reauthorization doesn't look like it will get to that core problem. It still allows states to set proficiency benchmarks, which is fine, but the commensurate federal red tape will probably cause the same sort of top-down pressure that we saw under NCLB. The new reauthorization will still test students annually in grades 3 through 8, and once again in high school. But while it's good to have that data, the problem is it's not giving parents the type of information that they need to make a good decision about where to enroll their children in school. And especially now that we're seeing this school choice provision eliminated, it really doesn't give parents much of a way out of a failing public school.
Two quick questions before we let you go. Lindsay, how much, if at all, is this an expansion of government? What's the price tag for the taxpayers here?
Well, it looks like the Wall Street Journal is reporting that it'll be about a 16% increase. And this is important to remember because we've already seen a dramatic increase in federal funding. Last year, with the so-called stimulus bill, there was a one-time infusion of $100 billion to the Department of Education, which in effect doubled the department's budget from 2008 until 2009. So this small Race to the Top program, it's small. It's $4.35 billion compared to the $100 billion that we've seen spent overall. But we're just seeing more and more federal funding, and with common standards, more and more federal red tape.
I'll give you the teacher's red pen on No Child Left Behind between 2002 and the present day. What kind of grade would you give it?
Well, I don't know if we would really assign a grade to it, but there was definitely room for improvement. And we're seeing some areas of improvement. It looks like they'll make it through this new reauthorization potentially, which is good. But again, with pulling out those school choice provisions, which were the absolute best part of No Child Left Behind, it's really an unfortunate direction.
And we'll see what Congress has to say about this. So, Lindsay, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Lindsay Burke of the Heritage Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.